Welcome back to Steam Spy Solo Stories, your economy-sized weekly actual play podcast. We're picking back up where our hero is in Panama City, Panama, and Roland Doyle was attacked by a Shadow Bureau agent. He finally beat her, but he found out that his partner, Irene Bennett, has been captured and is about to be killed, so he's rushing to the rescue. Now, before we start, I want to pause a minute and explain something. I know I'm basically playing out a damsel in distress kind of situation here, and I know how that looks in this kind of day and age, but I want to make it clear that's not because I'm the man and she's the woman, therefore I have to rescue her. It's because I'm the player character and she's the NPC. It just so happens, it's coincidental that I'm the man and she's the damsel. But in an RPG, you always want the player characters to have the agency and the opportunity to be the hero. That's kind of the whole point of all of this role-playing. That's kind of the point of taking part in a role-playing story. However, if you're playing a female agent, you or your game master absolutely should have a dude in distress in your story. I don't know what the term is, but there should be a term. The fact that there should be a term, a dude in distress, I'm making it. Or whatever kind of relationship you want to develop for your story, for your characters. No matter what the layout is, remember that this is a story where your character is the hero, no matter what that character is. So get out there and tell your own stories, and you be the hero no matter who you are. And tell me about it. Let me know about it. I love to hear these stories and find out what you're doing with Steam Spies. How are you making this game your own? So get out there and do it. Let me know. Thanks. Now, back to the story, which we have to get to because Agent Bennett's time is running out. All right, so Agent Doyle is going to rush to the warehouse where Agent Verka told me about. Now, Central America is quite a ways away from the normal operating area of the Shadow Bureau. All of the agencies are global, they're worldwide, but I'm going to say that the warehouse isn't heavily guarded. I'm going to say this probably isn't a big operating area for the Shadow Bureau. That means I'm going to kind of tactily sneak up to the building. Let's get to the roof. So this seems like a good place for a roof encounter. All right, medium difficulty. I roll a 6. I make it. Next, I gotta find out what's going on inside. So I'm gonna say there's probably a nice skylight. Let's say there's a skylight I can kind of look down and look into. Okay, but I have to see if I can make anything out. Can I tell what's going on without being seen? This time I'm gonna use burglar. It's another 6. Okay, so the skylight overlooks the warehouse floor. And I can see what's going on. Obviously, we determine they're about to kill Irene. But this is the kind of genre that they wouldn't just do it. They just do something simple. There's got to be some kind of complex Rube Goldberg-style death trap. I'm going to use the inspiration stimulator to get an idea of what kind of trap it is. I get resist barrier. All right. I'm going to say it's one of those old crushing walls kind of device. You know, the trapped in a room where the walls are closing in. But I can see her. I can see her from here, so she's not in a different room. Maybe she's just chained to a pole between two gigantic slabs that are being pushed. They're being pushed together by some kind of gigantic hydraulic machinery, something big and steampunky looking. all right, I want this to be tense. So I'm going to say that I have 3 rounds before she's crushed. So I have to act fast. And there are currently 2 guards down there. Okay, that's not too bad. Still might slow me down too much. So I'm going to try and cause a distraction. I'm going to assume that this building has kind of Central America. I'm going to assume it has like those heavy ceramic shingles. And I'm going to try and pull one of those loose and throw it over the edge of the roof. So it kind of crashes to the ground below. It's nice and loud, nice distraction. This is obviously a bluff roll. I'm trying to infiltrate with a bluff here, so I roll 9. Oh, yeah, okay, that definitely distracts the guards. So they jump up, kind of look at in the direction of the noise, and they go running off that way. As soon as the guards are looking outside, I'm going to drop in through the skylight, drop down to the floor, and quickly slam my hand on the button, deactivating the machine. Of course, the guards just aren't very far away. They're just over by the window, so they immediately are going to see me. They're going to know I'm there, and they're going to turn and come at me before I can release Eileen. So I stop the machine, but they're coming at me. And I got to make up a couple of basic goon guards. Not too threatening. There. Okay. All right. So the first guard, he comes at me with a flying kick. And as he does, I'm going to grab his feet. Ooh, I missed. Okay, so he kicks me. And I had a couple of wounds from the kite attack, so that's going to knock me down to wounded. Ooh. Yeah, I'm also going to say that he knocked me back into Irene. So he kicked me and I stumbled back. So now I'm between the slabs as well with her. And so that was one guard. The other guard is going to go over and slap his hand on the button and activate the machinery again. So now I'm here as these slabs. And now there's only 2 rounds for me to get out and stop these guards and save Irene. So I'm going to kind of quickly charge down this kind of narrowing channel as these walls are coming in and attempt to punch the guy who's in my way. So, oh, bam, he hits me again instead. So I go running in to hit me and he hits me. And that's gonna knock me down to injured. Okay, I'm going to say it knocks me into Irene again. She's tied up. She can't do anything. I'm probably like clutching on her for support at this point. The walls are closing in. I only have 1 more chance at this. You know what? She's from the federal agency. The federal agency love guns. So I bet she has a gun hidden on her somewhere. She just can't get to it, of course, because she's tied up. But I'm going to draw Irene's gun. And again, if this was a James Bond movie, it would probably be in a garter belt on her thigh or something. So I'm going to lift up her skirt and mumble an apology and draw it. Then I'm going to take a turn and take a shot at the guard closest to the controls. All right. Now that I'm armed, that's going to activate my firearm skill and deactivate their hand-to-hand skill. Once again, that's not a huge boost, but I'll take anything I can get at this point. And I roll. Oh my god, the dice do not like me today. So I shoot and I miss. And since that would mean that we are going to die, I pretty much have to spend a plot twist at this point. So I'm going to say my shot missed. It missed them, but it hit an oil line, which sprays the thugs with hot oil. And let's say a stray spark. It sprays them and a spark hits and they burst into flames. Since we were both about to die, it's a fair twist that they get what we were about to get. So they burst into flames, screaming. And I'm also going to say that the loss in oil pressure shuts the machine down. So just as it was about to press Irene and I together, the machinery grinds to a halt, you know, probably pushing our shoulders together as we're about to get squished. So, of course, now I'll untie Agent Bennett and help her out of the device. We'll probably have to turn sideways and shimmy out of this really narrow opening. And once we're out, obviously I'll have to tell her that I lost the kite in the film, but that they didn't get it. I activated the self-destruct. But I was up there. I saw the layout. I could probably make some maps from memory. Hopefully that'll be enough for the engineers to work out. I would think so. It's something. It's not as good as we were expecting, but okay. So then I guess we'll check in with the federal agency. Maybe contact them through telegraph or something. And that'll conclude the mission.
Before we take off, we're going to do our segment called RPG Reflection. RPG Reflection is where we grab some random guy off the street who puts me under the microphone and analyzes what I've been going through for the last few episodes. And hey, look, it's Zach. Hey, Zach, how you doing?
Some random guy off the street. I see how our relationship is, Mark.
You just happen to be here. What can I say? You're walking past. Grabbed your shirt, dragged you in here, and sat you down. So
I know. Well, Mark, I'm good.
Excellent.
I've also listened to the entire episode series. I believe we're calling it Panama.
Panama Peril.
So, Panama Peril.
Settled on, yes.
But yeah, is there anything you want to say before we just jump into the natural conversation?
Yeah, I caught what you did there with the little audio cue there, speaking of Panama.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Before we did this, I was talking about when I recorded this was right after Eddie Van Halen died, or right before I started recording. And so as I was doing it, every time I said the word Panama, in my head, that little audio blurb hit my head.
Yep.
Van Halen.
Absolutely.
So yeah, there's that. But yeah, what did you think? First impressions?
I really liked it. It was a slightly shorter. It was one episode shorter than the last series. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take you that long to get through the series, which is really nice, because at one point you said it is economy sized, which I really enjoyed.
Yes.
Which is a great descriptor for these Steam Spies solo stories. Mm-hmm. You can just kind of get through an episode in, you know, sometimes 8-10 minutes. On a long episode, maybe it's 14-15 minutes, but you know, it's an easy listen. You know, it's great entertainment, because like I have always said, Mark is a great GM, and he does a good job at, you know, what he loves.
Well, this is an interesting pressure, because you know, not only am I GM, but I'm also a player, so I kind of have to kind of be good at both,
right?
Sort of thing. So, but yeah. Yeah, I do try to, you know, basically it's like an hour TV episode when you get the whole mission together. But you just kind of break it into these kind of bite size episodes.
Yeah, which I enjoyed. Looking at the story a little bit, you brought back that mechanical kite, which had a pretty good, it was useful, and then, you know, going further on its usefulness as it made its way out, it, you know, did damage to your foe,
yeah,
in the form of a plot twist, which it really highlights the use of the plot twist in the system.
True. Yeah, that was fun. And I enjoyed that I could build off what I had already established with the kite.
Right. Yeah. And those quote unquote plot point elements that, you know, that people use in their stories are beautiful, because they can lead to moments where it helped you escape. You know, in the first act, quote unquote, you know, back in the first story.
Right.
And then it continues into this one, and that kind of brings that connection between the stories, you know, moving forward, and then just pushes that story even further whenever you have that tool to your advantage, which I love.
Good. So in this mission, I tried to be a little bit less rules, going into what the rules were as I was making the dice rolls. They still controlled how I controlled the story, but I didn't elaborate as much. Did that cause any confusion, or did that help the narrative?
Well, I might be a little biased because I've had a lot of exposure to the system.
True.
So I do already know the system. So, not having you explaining it doesn't bother me. I'm actually kind of curious about people on the outside if you have listened from, the beginning of the first story through this one, how that translates, was that enough in that first story to get an idea of what Mark's doing throughout these? I'm kind of curious if you're out there and you've listened, write in. We've got an email.
Yeah,
We've set it all out,
please
but
do.
let us know. We're really curious.
Yeah.
But the story cipher, that's kind of, somewhat built into the system is just really great. And I don't think it muddies things up too much, because it's like you roll one or two dice and you instantly have whatever you're looking for, whether that be like a yes or no answer or a location, help for an NPC, anything. It's just something you can do really quick. It doesn't stop things too much, and you can just keep going.
Right. Yeah. That's the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there are, different forms of these quote unquote emulators is what I would, kind of categorize it as. But there are some out there that kind of turn you off from solo play or, limited play, whether that be one or two people, because they are so complex, or maybe there are too many charts to look through. You know what I mean? We've
Yes.
looked at a couple of them,
True. Very true.
but this one does a pretty good job of keeping that story moving, in my
Excellent.
opinion.
Excellent. Yeah, and that's the goal. It's all about for me at least, it's about that pacing and keeping it moving and making it actiony.
Absolutely. Yeah, and those plot twists also help that because whereas several moments in, in this particular story, you kind of found yourself between a rock and a hard place, and those plot points really helped out. And normally where kind of that maybe where that story would end, it can keep going a little bit more, and yeah, and that's really helpful, and it's a really great story element there. But Mark, is there anything else you wanted to say about this story here, the Panama Peril?
Don't think so. I think that pretty well wraps everything up and sets us up for the next one.
Do we have a teaser on where we're going next
You know,
time?
it's I got this all set. I'm kind of thinking of going back to the James Bond formula and ending this with the statement, "This is the end of Panama Peril, but Roland Doyle will return in Covert Christmas."
Hell yeah. I'm excited, Mark.
So stay tuned.
And that's it for this episode of Tabletop Radio Hour. Like always, you can find this episode on soundcloud.com/tabletopradiohour and on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter @tabletopcast if you have any questions or comments. You can join us over on facebook.com/tabletopradiohour for regular updates. We also have an email address that is tabletopradiohour@gmail.com. Our website, tabletopradiohour.wordpress.com. You can find information about our Patreon page on our website. I want to thank you all for listening, and keep rolling 20s.